Good evening. How are we doing? Go ahead and turn over to Colossians chapter 2. For starters, I definitely have to take the opportunity to thank church leadership here. I appreciate the opportunity to be up here, and I'm excited to be here, guys. So I really thank you. I've been looking forward to the opportunity, so appreciate it. Someone told me today, if you're not nervous, something's wrong. He's right. I agree with him. But we're also exhorted not to be anxious. So in that spirit, I'm just going to lean on your love and your understanding. I'm going to try and have fun and learn as much as I can, okay? As I was doing this, I did notice a couple similarities between what I talked about this morning for the Lord's Supper and the message I had prepared tonight, so I'll try my best to impart the uniqueness of this message. So if you see me going down a path that's kind of repetitive, I'm going to try and bring it right back in. People keep telling me times are changing. And I don't necessarily disagree with the saying, but they say it to justify the change in people, the character, the morals. I'm saying, I think we're the same now as we've always been. Been reading Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel the past couple months. And I see today the same warnings that are in these books. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been fulfilled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious Lord God in heaven, we're so thankful to be here, gathered in Your name one more time on the first day, Lord's Day, to encourage each other. Lord, I just pray that this message is encouraging to you and is accurate and that builds you up. Praise and glory be to you, first of all, in all things, and also that it might be encouraging to the brethren. Lord, we're just so thankful for Christ risen. Thank you for that plan that's been set in motion since the beginning of the age, Lord. And we just pray that we could follow in those footsteps and work heartily for Him and build Your kingdom. And it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Quick side note, at the bottom of verse 8 says, to elemental spirits, I'm going to use principles. NASB says, firmly rooted. This morning I touched on the individual responsibility to shine bright for the sake of souls, not only situationally, but always, but especially situationally. Brethren, not only should we be continually perfecting ourselves and our character, but we've got to be an educated body. And I'm definitely listening tonight as well. But we've definitely got to be educated on specific topics. We have to be educated on evolution. We've got to be able to walk up to somebody and say it's more statistically possible to believe in a spiritual, eternal God than it is for the mathematics and the science to line up to support macroevolution. Salvation, belief, repentance, confession, immersion. In the Gospels, we have four records of the sign that's above Christ on the cross. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And all four of them are just slightly different. But when you put them together, you get the full picture. That's right. This is a great illustration of a principle for interpreting the Scriptures. How about Scripture altogether? I've talked with a gentleman that goes to an LDS church. Eventually, it was great conversation. We reasoned together as much as possible. He appreciated that. I appreciated that. But it came down, as it was said this morning, I pulled out Isaiah and I said, until you can show me that the Book of Mormon can record past history and get it right and proclaim the future and make it happen, you've lost my ear. Because I've done some digging, he came back to me and said, hey, I've got something. I want you to read it. And I read it. He said, what does that sound like? And I said, Christopher Columbus. Said that was written hundreds of years after Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. He's trying to use it as foretelling what was to come. So I said, recorded past history, but you still missed another step. Had I not known that, I don't know. We might still be bantering today, but we're not, unfortunately. Popular contrasting doctrines. How about once saved, always saved? How about the mess of understanding we have of the Lord's second coming? Right now, Satan's bound. Think about it. He's the king of this physical realm, yet he cannot tempt you beyond what you can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You have apostles recorded casting demons out left and right. God's got Satan bound. Turn to Ezekiel 33. God's exhorting Ezekiel to tell the people. And at the end, he orders them directly. We need to take advantage of every mind-sharpening tool we can as society keeps changing and developing new ideologies. Ezekiel 33, starting in verse 8. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn away from his way, the Lord shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Delivery implies destination, and I plan on eternally parking my soul in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Be firmly rooted. God owns the land. And with that ownership, he's got rights to the produce. Ask you a question. What if a plant doesn't have much of a root system? Maybe lack thereof. What happens the first time the land gets overwatered? Maybe it's flooded. That first windstorm comes up. Maybe it's even a tornado. I'd venture to guess that maybe that plant wasn't producing much at all, but after that, it's uprooted altogether. We've got to start rooting ourselves because the devil's going to be let loose. And in my opinion, during this time, the last few freedoms that we are exercising today are gone. At some point, we won't be able to assemble publicly. We won't be able to own Bibles. We've been seeing this go down and down with the removal of the church from the state, the removal of Christian principles from schools. I know one of the first times I was up here, I touched on something that I've been reading into, where in California, because two or three of people are assembled in the name of God for a Bible study, it's functioning as a church, therefore it needs to pay some sort of taxes in order to be recognized. So basically it's illegal to Bible study. I haven't been able to prove the validity of that story, but that's what's coming, brethren. How crucial is it going to be to have evangelists with this thing memorized? Pushing back the gates of Hades. Let's push back this wall and get some more seats in here. Let's keep the momentum going. I don't want to be charged like the Church of Ephesus in Revelations. I prefer well done, good and faithful servant. Serve the purpose of God in our generation. Side note before I continue. Abounding in thanksgiving. Last part here in verse 7. One of the best things besides scripture, prayer, and you guys that I've done to help better my character is to be thankful. Every day is a gift from God. Every day is a day that the Lord has tarried. And with that, to me, it means that there are still souls left to be found. Somebody hasn't heard the word or made their decision. Living stones still needed to continue to perfect heaven. I pray for an attitude of Paul in Philippians 1, very loose paraphrase. You kill me, I meet my maker. This is the best of them both. But you don't. And there's work left to do for the Lord, and I will work heartily. That's the day I stop being pessimistic. But all temptations, addictions, habits, weaknesses aside, be abounding in thanksgiving. Every time you pray, pray an allotment of thanksgiving. Thankful for Christ risen. For the Holy Spirit dwells in us, perfecting us from the inside out. For the church and the support and the building up that it does. Thankful for prayer. Be able to walk hand in hand in communication with God. Something these guys in the old longed for. Thankful for the Word, the ability to grow in faith. And for God's plan. God does not wish for any to perish, but I'm telling you, at some point, no one's going to be in heaven that didn't want to be there. And God's got a plan. He's been working from the very beginning, and at some point in each of your lives, someone showed you the Scripture, or you searched it out yourself, and you got on board. Be thankful for that. Be thankful for your physical things. Most of you drove in cars here. It's okay to be thankful for that. I'm thankful for my mattress every night I go to bed. I'm sleeping on the floor. It's the little things. Moving on. Colossians 2, verse 8. See to that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. You have been filled in Him who is the head and rule and authority. I promise I started writing this before I realized I was going to be up here on Easter evening. I kind of caught a little humor out of that. So I think we're the same people today, which means that these warnings in here carry the same significance. You have light and you have darkness. You have love that binds everything together in harmony, and you have hatred. You have patience. You have boastful arrogance. You have truth, hope, and endurance. And you have rudeness, irritable, and resentfulness. Do these adjectives evolve over time? Or do we add definition and meaning to them as we come to understand them? I think one of the easiest answers lies in your children. I bet you a large percentage of the time, children act out in anger way before they ever come to understand it. So could it be possible that flawed philosophy and empty deceit might not, if the same, be ever more present today, right now? Shaking your head, this stuff's making sense. Good job. Okay. I'm telling you, people do not believe that God is constant. People do not believe His Word is eternal. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." There is no shadow from change. It does not exist in God's realm. He is unwavering. I've been told to my face that this Word cannot possibly have the answer for every obstacle that we can come up against. It is too archaic for our evolved society. Romans 16:17 says, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions." Cause divisions. "And create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them." Watch out and avoid them. Sounds pretty updated to me. No matter how many software updates we try to take, there's one constant that we come back to, and it's that God created the operating system. A PC is always a PC until it stops being renewed, remade, which then it's just thrown in the landfill with the rest of the junk. Filled in Him, who the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And add that on to enriched in Him in all speech and knowledge, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Put them together, and what do you have? Say we don't have, and it's an excuse. I'm only human. I'm just a sinner at the base of the cross. The Bible's archaic. The fullness of God dwells in us. So you guys, they can go ahead and check the other nonsense at the door. I'm not saying God dwells in these people who are huddled at the base of the cross. What I'm saying is it's a central message in Scriptures that we need to be communicating to people. One of the greatest inhibitors is not knowing the power that's inside us. We have got to be cats looking in mirrors with the eyes of lions looking right back. But it all boils down to the convenient way and the hard way. Turn to Genesis chapter 13. Abram goes up to Egypt. Lot follows him. Abram's very rich in livestock, along with Lot, went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents so that the land could not support the both of them. It began strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and Lot's livestock. And down in verse 8, then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, I will go right, and if you take the right hand, I will go left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the Jordan Valley. It was well watered everywhere like the garden of the Lord. Like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This is before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and great sinners against the Lord. Abram says you can cut the donut in half and you can pick what slice you want. Which one did Lot pick? Pick the convenient one. The well-watered. Pretty good to... Got a lot of livestock, right? Can't support the both of them. Along with some other things. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, according to elemental spirits, not according to Christ. Does that mean that every doctrine, philosophy, and principle of this world are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven as long as they proclaim the cross? On Easter? Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven." And they go on to say, "But Lord, we did. And he says, "Depart from me. Never knew you." The warning here is don't be taken captive by it. That's why it's so important that we're educated. I'll walk up to Jared right now. I say, "Jared, do enzymes create proteins, or is it proteins creating enzymes?" And I ask him all these questions. He's going to do what? He's going to give me a freebie and say it's the first way. And then he's going to tell me where he got the material, where he learned it, and he's going to tell me to go check it out. Because this guy knows what's important. I appreciate how this assembly understands building up for the works of service. Ask you about your spiritual life, your studies. What are you reading? How about Sunday a.m. classes, Wednesday evenings, the Christian school? Man, these kids got more scripture memorized way more than when I was their age. I was waiting for someone to call me out. It's at my current age. Let's be like the noble Bereans in Acts 17. Paul and Silas preaching the word. These guys are examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. It's important to write down these Strong's numbers that Kevin has for us. Go check it out. Got to make sure this guy's right. Right? Yeah. And then we got to be able to go teach it. It's important you're checking out the material Jared does suggest on the Grand Canyon and the flood. It's important we have our nose buried in the Bible. Turn to Jeremiah 51. A lot of judgment and destruction in this book. I partially enjoy God has Babylon being responsible for the destruction of Jerusalem. But in verse 58, Jeremiah 51:58, thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad wall of Babylon shall be leveled to the ground, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The people labor for nothing, and the nations weary themselves only for fire. Babylon's going down. And when it does, it's going to be big. Just like the immensity of this chapter. And it's eternal. So endure patiently, brethren. Why Colossians? Why this exhortation? Because the fallout from human tradition, elemental principles, is division. Divisions. Romans 16. I got a buddy a couple days ago. Said there's one thing you have to do before you move away. Said you got to come to assembly with me one time. We were both at the desk. I don't know, man. I've been to a lot of churches. And in that moment, I got it. I said, I feel for you, man. What? You feel for me? I'm just going to one of those churches, you know? And I said, it has got to be almost impossible to believe in a Christian doctrine where the thousands of churches in one town alone can't even get on the same page. Christ is not divided, and it tears me up to see it. When I think of division amongst Christians, I think of abomination. It's an abomination to God. I read this book called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. Basically, devil's got a sidekick. His name's Screwtape. Screwtape's got a sidekick. His name's Wormwood. These guys are writing letters back and forth. Wormwood's hunting down a Christian, so-called, I guess. I'm just going to keep this paraphrasing. And Screwtape's giving advice. Wormwood's giving updates, asking questions. In the end, Wormwood does not get the soul. And I'm not sure if I remember correctly, some sort of punishment came down. I don't know what can be much worse than the situation they're currently in. But I remember, if it wasn't the central message of this book, I remember being taken back at what I learned at how the devil operates. And I do think that was the purpose of C.S. Lewis writing this book. He's deceitful and he's cunning. And he is bound, but to what we can handle with Christ in us, which means there's still a lot he can do. He's cunning. Apparently, somewhere along the way, we picked up devil's M.O. Soul, divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Get them separated, going in different directions. Flip to Colossians chapter 3. Real quick, I do pose a question. What is your attitude when God's Word introduces something new to your understanding? I do encourage you to have an attitude of patience and humility. Colossians 3, skipping down to verse 8. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and with his practices. Jumping down to verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It's been a while since I saw this video, so this isn't exactly how it went down, but this was its purpose. It's a musical, and someone's portraying the devil. Servant comes in, he's bouncing up and down with the music. Comes on in, devil says, "What is it?" Servant says, "Great news from the world. Divorce is on the uprise. Abortions are legal. False doctrine is spreading like wildfire, and there is division in Christ's church." Fiddles, whatever it was, start going crazy. And then above, the ground and the rock above the devil starts shaking. And the rocks and the soil start to fall. And with the falling rocks fell the servant's face. Devil knew something's wrong. He says, "Servant, what is it?" But there's one problem. So the saints are singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to their God. They're exhorting each other, being dedicated to prayer, Lord's Supper, apostles' teaching, building each other up, seeking and saving the lost. Eventually, at the end, with some more charismatic verbiage, the devil's world crashes down on him. So I encourage you, brethren, let's dig in. Let's learn together. Teach each other what we know. Share it. Minds on things above, centered on the kingdom, centered on your brothers and sisters. And finish this endurance race with as many people as possible. Let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, great awesome Lord in heaven, the great I am, the creator, author, and perfecter of our faith. You are so magnificent. Your glory is inconceivable, Lord. You have created a plan and now currently a body and a church that is perfect. Lost in our jailhouse of sin, Lord, Christ Jesus opened the doors for us. And for your name's sake, we are called out to go out, proclaim Christ crucified, and gather as many souls as possible. Lord, I just pray that as we still can currently exercise the ability to gather twice on the first day of the Lord's Day to partake of the Lord's Supper and exhort each other, sing songs, hymns, study apostles' teaching, that take advantage of every opportunity given to us, we truly build each other up with zeal for your house and for your kingdom, your brothers, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you and praise you. Praise and glory be to you in all things, Lord. Be with us as we go out this week. We would do great. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.